Good morning. Scripture reading for today will come from Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 7. These commandments that I give you today are to be in your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up.
Thank you, Nick, and good morning, everyone. It's good to see each of you here today. I like this idea of standing up for the last song, because that means that you haven't been sitting awfully long during a long sermon, and so I get to preach longer, and that's always a good thing from my point of view. I want to be a worker for the Lord, we just were singing. Where do those come from? Where do we find people who will be workers for the Lord, who will be active workers and leaders in the church? How do we develop Christians who will visit the sick and take care of those who are in need and call upon neighbors to teach them the gospel and lead singing and preach and do the work of deacons and elders? Where do we find such people? Generally, we rely on a couple of methods. One of those is to have a training program of some kind in the local congregation. Maybe train people to become more involved and to engage in various good works of whatever kind those might be. Another route that we might take is to use a school of some kind, college, university, preacher training school in the event of somebody wants to preach. And all of those, both of those are good things. I'm not in any way critical of those things. I've benefited from both of those. It's unfortunate that generally we don't utilize either of them. We just kind of hope that somebody will come along who will be ready, willing, and able to do whatever it is that needs to be done without any particular effort to make sure that that happens. Just somebody appears, maybe drops down out of a parachute or something, I don't know. But we don't always use even the two methods that I've mentioned. But I would submit to you that even if we do use those two methods and we use them exclusively, we're going to miss the boat. We're going to shortchange ourselves, and we're going to shortchange the Lord. There is another training ground, which is not only scriptural, but it is mandated in Scripture. And it's so obvious that we oftentimes overlook it. And that is, of course, the home. In the Scripture reading that Nick read so well for us a moment ago, you see that even during the Old Testament times in the Law of Moses, as Moses spoke those words in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses was a prophet of God, you understand. And so he was speaking these words on behalf of God. Wasn't Moses' idea, it was God's word. And he was speaking this on God's behalf, and he said, "These words which I command you," yes, Moses was commanding, but it was God through him giving these commands. "The words that I command you today shall be in your heart." You take them seriously. They become a part of you. They're in your heart. "And you shall teach them," get this word, "diligently." You shall teach them diligently to your children. God didn't give children to the church. He didn't give children to the government. He gave children to parents. And so parents, and I'm going to expand this a ways because those of us who are grandparents also have some responsibility. And even if you don't have children, and you're not a grandparent or a parent, you have a responsibility as a concerned disciple of Jesus to make sure that young people are trained to serve the Lord. But when do you do this? He says, you shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Think, okay, it's on toward evening. The day's work is done. It isn't quite bedtime yet. So we're sitting in the house. I hope you're talking to your children. What do you talk to them about? Talk to them about the Lord. Talk to them about spiritual things. Talk to them about God. Talk to them about the church. Talk to them about the Bible. You shall do this when you're sitting in your house. When you walk by the way. Let's go for a walk together. Okay. Look, there's the birds chirping. It's spring. They're building nests. What a great time to talk to the children about the marvelous creation of God. And look at all the good things that we get to enjoy because of God's creation. Isn't he wonderful? Talk to them when you lie down. It's time to go to bed. Talk to your children about the Lord. Pray with them. When you rise up, it's time to get up. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Talk to them. Train them. Do this diligently. Let's see. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. That pretty well covers the day, doesn't it? All the time. Every time that you have an opportunity, you can teach your children these things from the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 16, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child. Whose responsibility is that? That's the responsibility of parents, and yes, grandparents, and yes, every disciple of Jesus in the New Testament sense. And by the way, I'm fully aware that Deuteronomy is Old Testament. Proverbs is Old Testament. Joe, we don't live under the law of Moses anymore. Why are you talking about these things from Deuteronomy and Proverbs? Because they still apply. They still apply in the New Testament. And so let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the discipline or the training and admonition of the Lord. Look at that word training. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The idea of training is not simply packing facts into somebody's brain intellectually, but it also includes the idea of example to show a person how to do something. You know, there's a certain amount you can learn from people talking to you, and maybe writing. Back in my day, it was writing on a chalkboard. Nobody does that anymore, do they? But there are ways to present things, and yes, you can learn from that, and you can learn from a book, but how much better for someone to sit you down or to sit down with you or to even to stand with you, whatever the case, and say, here, let me show you. This is how it's done. You do that with children as well as anybody else. And so train them, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. For example, we know a fellow by the name of Paul, do we not? The Apostle Paul, better known in his earlier days as Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was brought up, as he talked about in Philippians chapter 3, verse 5, in a strict religious Jewish household. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. None of this Hellenistic Judaism for him. Oh, that was far too paganized and Grecianized, and oh, we're going to keep the traditions, and we're going to learn the language, and we're going to be Hebrews. And that's the kind of an environment that Paul grew up in. He was educated at the feet of a famous rabbi by the name of Gamaliel, Acts chapter 22, verse 3. And so that would be one of the ways that his parents saw fit to educate him. But just growing up in the household, Saul knew the scriptures. He knew the law of Moses. He learned those things from his parents as well as from Gamaliel. Now, of course, when Paul became a Christian, he had to change his views of some things. He had to realize that Jesus was the fulfillment of all of those things that he had learned from the law, from the Old Testament. But nevertheless, his training early on helped him to become a fabulous servant of the Lord, a wonderful preacher of the gospel of Christ. One of the many people that Paul contacted and led to Christ and helped along the way was a young man by the name of Timothy. Timothy had been taught the scriptures, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, from the time he was a babe. Did I say babe? Yes, I did. Well, babies can't learn anything. They're too young. Watch me carefully. No, they're not. They can learn. From the very time that Timothy was a little bitty boy, he was being taught the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures that are able to make him wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Yes, he was learning the Old Testament, but he would learn that Jesus was the fulfillment of that, and he would become a Christian. We know that he was being taught by his mother and by his grandmother from the time he was a little bitty boy. In Acts 16, verse 1, we see that his mother also set a good example before him. She, when she heard the gospel from Paul, obeyed it, became a Christian. That was the right thing to do, and undoubtedly had an impact on young Timothy as well, that he would do the very same thing. Now, Timothy, the situation with him was difficult because his father was not a God-fearing man. His father was a Greek and evidently would not even allow this little boy to undergo the rite of circumcision, which was typical for Jewish boys on the eighth day of their life. That didn't happen with Timothy, which would indicate that father said, no, this is not going to happen, and it didn't. So it's up to mom and it's up to grandma to teach him the Word of God, but they did so. And then, of course, Paul took him on the second missionary journey and mentored him, helped him to become a great servant. And he is like Paul's son in the faith. He is a faithful man. He's a good man, and he does a good, effective work in ministering the gospel of Christ. Well, here's another example from Acts chapter 12 and verse 12. You're familiar, of course, with the book of Mark. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Mark, who wrote that? Well, Mark wrote that. Duh. His name was John Mark. Remember John Mark? First missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas? This is Barnabas' nephew. His mother's name is Mary, not the same Mary that was the mother of Jesus. There were tons of people named Mary. The Hebrew equivalent would be Miriam, and that was a very popular name among the Jews. And so his mother's name is Mary, and we find that during the beginning days of the church is meeting at Mary's house. Peter's in prison. King's thinking about killing him. What's the church doing? They're at Mary's house, and they're praying for Peter. And so here is a great example of a young man by the name of John Mark, and he is being taught the Word of God, and the example is being set for him, and it is being set by his mother, and it's a great thing. His uncle Barnabas then trains him. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, I want you to bring Mark because he is valuable to me for ministry. Now, that was after Barnabas had trained him, and Paul, to some extent, had trained him. You remember there was a little friction between John Mark and Paul for a while, but that ironed out, things got better, and by the time Paul writes 2 Timothy chapter 4, bring John Mark. He is valuable to me for ministry. So here are just some examples of various people who were trained early on by their parents and by their grandparents, and it paid big, big dividends. How could we do that? How can teachers, how can Christian parents do that for their children? Well, the first thing, obviously, is to teach. Teach them the scriptures. That is the foundation upon which all else is built. If you don't build on the scriptures, what are you going to build on? Well, we'll build on Joe Blow's Book of Philosophy. Well, good luck with that. Let me know how that works out for you. It's not going to be what you want. It's not going to be what you need. Build on the scriptures. Now, Bible classes can help. Sermons can help. I hope so anyway. We mean for them to. But at best, these are going to be supplements to parental teaching, not substitutes for it. I think Marita will remember when we lived in a different place decades ago. It was a young couple, didn't have any children at the time. Not sure if they ever did. Didn't keep in touch with them very well. But I remember so well the young lady saying, well, we're so glad that the congregation that we're a part of has Bible classes. Because when my husband and I have children, we both work, and we're not going to have time to teach them. No. That is absolutely upside-down thinking. There is no job that is more important than teaching your children God's Word. And it is your responsibility to do that. That's moms and dads and grandparents. Remember, who taught Timothy? Not just mom, but grandma as well. And grandpas, like me, we need to be involved as well. It is our responsibility to do that. We need to teach them the Word of God. Well, they'll get enough in Bible class. You know what that would be like? That would be like saying, I don't need to feed my child. I'll just give them does Flintstones still make vitamins? Yucky, nasty things. But anyway, I'll just give my children a Flintstones vitamin every day. That's all they need. How long is that going to last? You're going to be arrested for child abuse. Feed your children good food. Feed them the Word of God. Teach them. Don't rely on others to do that for you. Not only that, but show them. Show them how that it's done. Take your children when it's appropriate and show them how to do good things. Visit friends and neighbors. Invite them to worship. Invite them to have a Bible study. Invite them to, if you have vacation Bible school, invite them to vacation Bible school. Whatever it is, take them when it's appropriate to visit those who are sick and in the nursing homes and so forth, and teach them how to teach them how to teach. Wouldn't that be great? Do you want your children to know how to teach someone else the gospel? Do this. Yes, I want my children to know that. Okay, we got that squared away. How's that going to happen? Well, we'll send them to preaching school. Don't rely on that. It's sad that so many children have never seen their parents actively try to lead someone to Christ. And so their children don't know how to do it. And maybe they think, in order to do that, I have to go to school. No, you really don't. Not if mom and dad are doing their job. And it's their job to show these children how it's done. Show them how to prepare a lesson and teach it. And yes, that can even apply to our daughters, because aren't they going to be teaching in Bible classes and teaching at Ladies' Day and teaching in various contexts when it's appropriate for them to do so? Well, surely somebody else can do that. No. Make sure that your children are able to do that. Show them how it's done. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to lead. Show them how that it's done. And yes, even teach them to prepare and deliver sermons. What? My child do such a thing? Yeah. Why not? Again, well, my daughters can't do that because we don't have women preachers in the Lord's church. That's true. But do we ever have occasions where just the ladies get together and study the Bible? Can we not teach our daughters to participate in that and even to lead in that? The answer is yes, and we ought to do that. And then we need to motivate them to lead and to serve in the church. Leadership. Leadership is not just telling folks what to do. You know, we've got a weird idea in our culture of what leadership is. Well, leadership means I sit here and tell you what to do, and then you have to do as I say because I'm the leader. Leadership is rooted and grounded in service. That's what leadership is really all about. We need to motivate. Tell them that leadership isn't about being, quote-unquote, the boss. Luke chapter 22, verses 25 through 27. Jesus cautioned the disciples about this. He said the Gentiles lord it over those who are under them. It shall not be so among you. If you want to be great, be a servant. If you want to be the greatest, what's the word then? You be a slave. Leadership is rooted and grounded in service. Teach them to become. Teach them to become Bible class teachers, to become song leaders, to become preachers and deacons and elders. And where are the faithful wives going to come from that will uplift the hands of their husbands as they engage in those works? We need to be training our daughters to do that. And we need to speak positively of those works. So often it's, oh no, Johnny, do anything, but don't preach and don't accept appointment as a deacon or an elder because there's all these negative things that can happen. We need to speak positively and encourage our children to engage in these good works. When should we start training our children in this fashion? Should we wait until, I don't know, after they're baptized? No. How about starting before they're born? Did you sing to your mothers? Did you sing to your children before they were born? I hope you did. It helped them if you did. Definitely sing to them right after they're born and talk to them. And start telling them, say, well, they can't understand yet. I know that, but let them get used to the idea that this is what's important. From day one, start in and teach them what the things are that they need to know. We certainly need to train our young men to actively lead in a congregation and do that before they start shaving, please. We don't want to have the Latter-day Saints guys haven't started shaving yet, knocking at the door saying, hi, I'm Elder so-and-so. Don't despise them, by the way, when they do that. Just help them to understand. Love them. But let's start training our young men early on, our young boys, and help them to become qualified when the time comes, and encourage them to want to serve. We need to want to serve. Parents have an awesome responsibility. And so we need to train them in all of these various areas that they need to be prepared to serve. All of the programs in the world, all the schools in the world, can never take the place, can never replace the function of godly parents. It's our responsibility to take care of our children. That's where leaders in the church come from, is from the home. And I hope that you will be encouraged today. My purpose today has not been to chew anybody out. It's been to encourage you to do what needs to be done with your children, with your grandchildren, with the little ones that you see in the congregation. Let's all pull together and do what we can to teach them the way of the Lord. If today you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we've not talked very much about what must I do to be saved, but remember that Timothy learned what was needed to make him wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We want our children to know when their time comes and they realize that they have sinned and they have fallen short of God's glory, that they have a Savior who died for them, that they can confess that Savior's name as the Son of God. They can turn away from sin and they can put him on in baptism and be forgiven and washed clean. You can do that today. If that is your need, we invite you to come as we're standing and singing.